Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
All right, hour number three. And joining me again from the beautiful confines of Yuma, Arizona, is the one, the only, Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
So let's talk about this. Now, normally, with some of the stuff, some of the technical stuff that happens in the legal arena of guns, I'll be honest, sometimes it bores me, to be quite honest with you. But, on the other hand, I understand that some of these things are important and have to be done. Now, the pistol brace thing, I just went through all the stuff with the Form 1 and everything, and I was one of the less than 250,000 that complied with it. You have written an article about, I guess, the new rule. So tell me about what you found out about the new rule.
Well, there's several interesting things about the new rule. One is that it contradicts what the ATF had done for about a decade before, where it said pistol braces were okay. They were not covered under the NFA, the National Firearms Act. And that becomes important in some of the court challenges that we're seeing. Some judges have basically said, well, how is an ordinary person to know whether this is legal or not when you said it was legal for 10 years and now you're saying it's not legal? I mean, that's a big change in the law, and we shouldn't just let administrators change it whenever they want to.
Right.
If you're going to make a big change, at the minimum, it has to go through Congress, not some legislative administrative agency or executive administrative agency like the ATF. And the other thing is that these are criminal statutes. This isn't, you're going to get a fine and, you know, you have to pay so many dollars and that's it. And there is a differentiation in federal law. Now, it's not absolute. It's not always. But generally, they're more concerned with having criminal penalties go through Congress, whereas if it's just civil penalties, they have them. They're more deferential to the administrative agencies. And this is criminal penalties. You could be fined up to $10,000, and you could go to jail for up to 10 years if you're found to be in possession of a short-barreled rifle. And the ATF has changed the definition of what is a short-barreled rifle to include a pistol and some of the pistol braces. Now, it's not exactly clear. I read the final rule, and they go through a bunch of different iterations. Well, we're going to look at this point and that point and the other point, and basically it comes down to, we'll know it when we see it and
right.
Tell you if it's illegal or not, which is not real comforting if you're trying to figure out if you're legal or not.
Right.
Now, one of the things that strikes me as odd, and I think kind of interesting about this whole thing, is in 1992, Supreme Court ruled in a case, United States versus Thompson Center Arms Company, that possessions of parts that can be assembled into a pistol, a rifle, or a short-barreled rifle do not equate into the possession of a short-barreled rifle. They said because of the rule of lenity, which is if you can construe a law a couple of different ways reasonably, then you go with the one that's most favorable to the person you're trying to prosecute. And they also talked about it being vague, that it wasn't clear. So this case, that was 1992. It's a ways back. I remember when it happened because I went, wow, this is a pretty big deal. And what Thompson Center had done is they made a few kits. They weren't very many, where they had a pistol, single-shot pistol with a 10-inch barrel, and they included a shoulder stock with this kit and a receiver and a 21-inch barrel. So you could put the 21-inch barrel and the shoulder stock on the receiver, and you had a single-shot rifle, or you could put the hand grip and the 10-inch barrel, and you had a single-shot pistol. And in the Supreme Court ruling, they said, you can't claim that mere possession of a short barrel and a stock and a receiver that can all be put together into a short barrel pistol is a short barrel rifle. They said Congress never said that just a collection of parts can become a short barrel rifle. Where they said something different when it comes down to silencers. Any part that is only used in a silencer, they said you have to have a $200 tax stamp for, which, of course, is absolutely insane and ridiculous, but that's another topic. So we have this Supreme Court ruling that's been around for 30 years. And it says that if you just have the parts that make it into it, that you could assemble into a short-barreled rifle, it's not a short-barreled rifle. It has to be assembled to be a short-barreled rifle. But the difference on this is they were not talking about pistol braces. They were talking about actual stocks. The stocks were meant to go on a rifle.
Right.
If you see the difference. And the whole thing about pistol braces is they're not meant to be stocks, even if they may, in a particular instance, look a lot like a stock. And they can be made to function a lot like a stock. They never were made to be a stock, and that's an important differentiation in the law. So, we have this case. Say you've got a pistol, an AR-type pistol. It doesn't matter the barrel length as long as it's less than 16 inches.
Right.
I mean, you can have a pistol with a barrel length of 16 inches or more. That's not a problem. But to become a short-barreled rifle, the barrel has to be less than 16 inches. So you've got this pistol, and it's an AR type, and it's got an upper receiver that has a barrel length, let's say, of less than 16, maybe 10 inches. And you have a rifle, or an upper with a barrel length of more than 16 inches. You could take off that 16 or that 10-inch upper and put on the 16-inch upper, and then you could put a stock on it, and you perfectly have a legal rifle. But if you put the stock on the pistol with the pistol upper on, then you've got a short barrel rifle. Now, ATF is saying with this rule is if you have one of the pistol braces that they've determined makes a pistol into a short barrel rifle, that mere possession of that pistol brace with the receiver and the upper receiver with the short barrel means you've got constructive possession of a short barrel rifle. But if you have an actual stock that sits on it, it doesn't. Which I thought was kind of hilarious. I mean, you could have an actual stock and it doesn't make it a rifle as long as you don't put it on it. But you have a pistol brace that wasn't designed as a stock, but could be used as a stock, that would possibly, in their interpretation, make it a short-barreled rifle just by existing, not by putting it on.
Right.
And that's just, I mean, it's ludicrous. It's insanity.
Hang on right there, if you will. This article is at amaland.com right now, like 2,200 plus other articles he's got. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We'll be right back. Renovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained, the one. And he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
And welcome back. We're talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about AR-15 pistols versus AR-15 short-barreled rifles. And nobody really knows the difference between them. They'll know it when they see it, though, right?
Well, the ATF has basically made the rules to determine if a pistol brace will make a pistol into a short-barreled rifle. So complicated that it's hard to know if it really will or not. And it kind of depends on how the ATF looks at it when they see it.
Can I ask you a question about that, though? So, like, if it just has a buffer tube on it, right?
No pistol brace at all. Just the regular round buffer tube that will not actually accept a brace on the back of it. They also want to legislate or regulate the way you actually hold the gun. So if you take that buffer tube and stick it on your shoulder, because that's not going to hurt if you do that with the 5.56. It's just not a heavy kicking round. You could do that, couldn't you? But that's illegal, right?
From what I understand, it's not illegal. When I talk to the ATF, now these are not the very highest people. They're the people in probably middle-level positions that are presenting at the SHOT Show. And they said, if the buffer tube is necessary for the action, in other words, if it has a spring in it and the buffer goes back and forth when you shoot, it's necessary to operate the action, buffer tubes are not considered stock and they would not be prosecuted. That's what they told me.
Right.
So if you, in my opinion, now that there are actions that I like some of the 22 conversions that don't really need a buffer tube.
Right.
Now, in that case, they might consider the buffer tube to be a stock. Like I said, it comes down to the interpretation of the ATF. But I think for an ordinary AR type action where the buffer goes back and forth inside the tube, that with the part of the bolt carrier, that would not be considered a stock by itself. But as you say, for the 5.56, or I would say a 300 AAC, the buffer tube itself is not going to hurt your shoulder much if you happen to have it up against your shoulder when you're firing.
Right.
And I've seen these videos of people using what they call cheek pistol technique, where they put the buffer tube right up against their cheek. It's not quite like shouldering a rifle,
right,
but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And since you don't have a lot of recoil there, and you can put a red dot sight, you know, a couple inches ahead of where your eye is, you got plenty of eye relief, you can shoot it with that cheek weld offhand pretty accurately. I would say easily for somebody who is not super talented, you can shoot it more accurately with that cheek weld than you could just holding it out in front of you. Now, we've all seen the people who can shoot extraordinarily well. The Jerry Misalukas, that I'm probably mispronounced his name, who is just extraordinary at what they can do with a pistol without any cheek weld or anything. But if you've got an AR with a buffer tube AR pistol with a buffer tube, and you use that as a cheek weld, and you got an optical sight, it helps a lot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to do that without ever contacting your shoulder with the buffer tube. I mean,
I just don't even know how they would actually enforce that law.
Oh, I'll tell you how they would do it. Because that's how I would do it. Is you look on YouTube for idiots that are saying, look at me, shoot this AR pistol. Why? I hold it right up to my shoulder. Look, here's a close-up showing it in contact with my shoulder. It really works great. It's just like a rifle. You know, that's how you would enforce it, is idiots who say, we have to put everything on YouTube videos, you know, and on their phone videos and all, and brag about how they're doing something that might be a little iffy. And sometimes we've seen it with people bragging about their illicit activities. Hunter Biden is just one of the most prominent. There's lots of people who put out stuff on the internet. Biden put it on his laptop, almost as bad, in my opinion. But if you put out on the internet while they are doing illegal things, I'm not talking just, you know, ordinary. They could be doing a drive-by shooting, or they could be displaying.
Well, they do that too. They do all that nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but they don't seem to care. It's like, well, nobody's going to ever look at my YouTube video and use it in court against me. No, they do it all the time.
Yeah, the ATF is not one of those agencies. I mean, have you ever looked at the breakdown of the armed agents in each agency, of the alphabet agencies that are out there?
Oh, yeah, I have once in a while, a long time ago, and I forget how many ATF agents, but they're trying to increase them.
Well, I mean, but as of 2021,
it's not a huge
no, but as of 2021, the IRS has 90 more armed agents than the ATF does.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah, so
and the ATF doesn't have that many. I mean, it's almost as if they depend on local agencies to feed them cases.
Right.
They don't usually do cases by themselves unless there's something unusual to bring it to their attention.
Right.
Now, there are investigative arms of the ATF who go after what they think are, you know, more major operations and such.
Like,
there are.
Like,
but they just don't
like Waco.
Have the manpower. Yeah, well, yeah. Let's try to do that one.
Or Ruby Ridge. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, most of the time, most of the charges they bring, those are attached after they look at arrest reports or they, like you said, they see some fool on YouTube.
Or, you know, a local agency brings it to their attention. I recall when I was in Wisconsin talking about people and had a couple different officers say, yeah, we got this really bad guy and we know he carries around a sawed-off shotgun all the time and we contacted the ATF and they're not interested. And it's a really bad guy.
Well,
you really
yeah.
want to get off the street.
That's an interesting point.
See, shotgun. It's not that big a deal. We're not interested.
I know a local dealer who had a guy that he suspected was sort of really sketchy, and he failed the background check.
Uh-huh.
And he kept coming back wanting to buy the gun. And so he had lied somewhere on the 4473. So they contacted local law enforcement and the ATF, and nobody showed up.
Yeah.
They set it up to where he was going to show up at a certain time, and then he showed up at a certain time, and they did not show up.
Right.
So, anyway.
I mean, it's just, and now what we're seeing with the Biden administration, and probably has gone on before that we don't know about, is targeting of political opponents. You know, I don't like this guy's politics, so we're going to go after him.
Right.
We're not all that interested in this bad guy who's, you know, bragged about robbing banks or whatever. You know, we're not going to go after him. That's a small state. But this guy that we can get politically, that's, you know, and it's a really sad state of affairs when we have that happen, but it's probably gone on forever.
Indeed.
Now, I would like to point out some of the history on this, the whole
idea. Well, you got, we can pick it up on the other side. We're coming up into the break if you want to do that.
Very good.
Certainly do that. Talking to Dean Weingarten. This article, like I said, it's at amiland.com. Dean has well over 2,200 other articles of all types waiting for you there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA News Update. Attorney General Merrick Garland is defending the integrity of the Justice Department amid accusations Hunter Biden was given preferential treatment in his tax and gun case.
Mr. Weiss had, in fact, more authority than a special counsel would have to bring a case anywhere he wants in his discretion.
The president's son recently agreed to plead guilty to a pair of tax-related misdemeanors and avoid jail time. A former IRS employee, however, told the House Ways and Means Committee the agency recommended additional felony tax charges against Biden, but the DOJ slow-walked the case. Existing home prices are seeing the biggest year-over-year drop in over a decade.
The median price last month was just over $396,000. That's a drop of a little more than 3% compared to a year ago, the biggest decline seen since December of 2011.
The Cubs and Cardinals play in the London series. It all begins tomorrow. Dave Collins.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We were talking about how, the ATF, they're always on something, and they just try to complicate things. So let go ahead and finish up on that one, if you would, sir.
Yeah, and that is that when we talk about short-barreled rifles, they were fairly common before 1934 when they passed the National Firearms Act. And that act, that piece of legislation, originally the federal government wasn't interested in short-barreled rifles at all. They were not included. They had their major target were handguns, and then they had short-barreled shotguns in there, sawed-off shotguns, and they had machine guns, and they had suppressors which were attached to pistols or sawed-off shotguns or machine guns. That's what the list was originally. They didn't have short-barreled rifles. But there was a Minnesota Democrat on the Ways and Means Committee in the House. And when this was being presented to the House, and they were having some debate on it, and the Ways and Means Committee was having some debate, not the full House, and they're talking about it, he said, well, rifles aren't in here. And I'm paraphrasing a bit because I don't have the exact conversation in front of me. So rifles aren't in here. And a lot of my constituents are deer hunters. And I don't want their deer rifles to be affected. So shouldn't we put rifles in there too? And shouldn't we make the barrel length 18 inches, not 16 inches? Because I know a little bit about guns, and I think 18 inches would be more effective for us than 16 inches. And the representative from the Justice Department of Justice looked at them and said, well, rifles aren't in here, so they wouldn't be affected. And the congressman went on, I don't know if he was drunk or if he was just trying to appear foolish to get this change in.
Yeah.
But he said, well, I know something about guns, and I think it should be 18 inches, and we should probably have rifles in there because I don't want my constituents to be affected. And the guy from, you almost hear the what is going on in his comments or in the transcript. And he says, well, if you want rifles in there, we can put rifles in there. And so they added rifles. And that's how they got, how short barrel rifles became under the National Firearms Act. And then the ATF did not make a determination that adding a stock to a pistol made a short barreled rifle until 1961. That's like 25 years later, 26, 27 years later. I mean, and it, because they were pretty common and there were a number of them around and it didn't appear to them. You see, adding a stock to a pistol is quite a bit different than cutting the barrel on a rifle. So, but eventually they did, and that's how we got burdened with this really stupid law. I mean, if you look at laws that the federal government has, this has to be in the top tier for stupidity. But it's there, and it's in the courts now. And you've got to consider that under the Bruin decision from the Supreme Court last year on June 22nd, they said that you can't, they'd already said in Heller, you just can't ban a whole class of firearms. And then in Bruin, they solidified their position and said, you can't ban a whole class of firearms. And not only can't you ban a whole class of firearms, but if you're looking at regulations on firearms or laws, you have to show there's a historical precedent. And it was common and accepted at the time that the Second Amendment was ratified in 1791, or, you know, we might give you a little leeway if you can show that it was common by 1868, not as much as we do for 1791. Well, there were no bans on short-barreled rifles until well after 1900. The earliest I could find was in 1921, I think, in Michigan. So it's way beyond the time they're considering as historical precedent. So here you have a ban on a whole class of firearms that doesn't make any sense from a policy viewpoint, and which wasn't passed until at least 1921. There's no historical precedent for it. It should be unconstitutional. I think unless there is a major change in the Supreme Court, like, say, God forbid, a couple of originalist justices die and are replaced by President Biden. That would be very bad. But barring that kind of thing, or packing the court by the Democrats, which they've talked about openly several times, barring that, the short-barreled rifle law will probably go away. Either it'll be repealed by Congress, which there have been some legislation put out to that effect, or it'll be ruled unconstitutional.
Right. Well, we're going to see. We're going to see where it goes. I would, the former one route, I have now an SBR. If it goes away and pistols are okay, then I still have my pistol brace, and I will buy an AR-15 pistol in 5.56, and I will stick that on it. And I'll still have my pistol if that's what I want, and I'll have a SBR and a lovely 300 blackout loaded with supersonics. It's just absolutely wicked, so I got that going for me.
There's no reason to have this arbitrary barrel length. And interestingly, in a number of countries, they look at America, what's that barrel length thing about? Well, why is that important?
Indeed. So let's get into what happened in Arizona. You had a bear attack in Arizona. That's what I know about it. I haven't even looked at it. What's going on with that?
Okay, well, this happened on the morning of June 16th, and it's in the northern half of Arizona, just a few miles south of Prescott, which is a beautiful area. There's a lot of trees. It's much cooler, by 10 degrees cooler than it is here in Yuma, where we're one of the hottest parts of the state. And it's just lovely country. I mean, this happened at Groom Creek. And that's, like I said, a few miles. I don't think it's more than 5 or 6 miles south of Prescott. And it's about 100 miles north of Phoenix. And it's about 5,000 to 6,000 foot elevation. So it's just a beautiful place to have property. Hard to make a living there, but a beautiful place to have property. So this, they got, the sheriff's department got some 9/11 calls, and what had happened at about 7:30 in the morning, a man was having coffee outside. He was on his own property. He's building a cabin there. His name was Stephen Jackson. He's 66 years old. And they show an image of the scene. I mean, it looks like he had a little pop-up camper on his truck that he was using to sleep in, and there's building materials there, and you know, you can see where he's planning and was working on building his cabin there out in the woods. And there's a camp chair that's overturned and what looks like a beverage container on the table, presumably since they said he was having coffee, it had coffee in it. And what appears to have happened is this bear is a pretty big bear, 300 pounds. That's a good-sized black bear. It was appears to be a predatory attack, and it probably snuck up on him from behind and grabbed him before he was aware of much of what was going on. And then he's struggling, and he's screaming and yelling, and the neighbors hear him, and the bear is dragging him 75 feet down a fairly steep hillside. Looks like about a 45 degree from what I can see in the picture. So it's fairly steep. It takes him about 75 feet down this hillside, and the neighbors are yelling, trying to get him, the bear, to stop attacking Steve. And one of them honks his horn, but no.
Hang on for me. We'll finish this on the other side, talking to Dean Weingarten about the Arizona bear attack. This is Lock and Load.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Last time on the firing line. Yes, I was right about that. I had to double check that. Last time on the firing line. This is Lock and Load talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about this bear attack in Groom Creek, Arizona, where a 300-pound black bear was, well, he was sort of being predatory. Please continue, sir. I'm sorry I had to interrupt you.
Yeah, so he, you know, the victim is screaming and yelling, and the neighbors are trying to yell at the bear, and it's 75 feet down this pretty steep slope, and so the neighbors, the yelling and the horn honking isn't doing any good, so one of the neighbors gets to someone that they know has a firearm, who now I've read recently, his name was David Pantano, and he has had a firearm, some training, and they yell at him, "Steve's being attacked. You know, grab your gun," and they woke him up. So it takes a little bit to get away, and then he gets the gun and he goes to the where he can see the bear, and he said he got the bear's attention. I suppose he yelled or something, and he shoots it once, and it rolls off of Steve, and then he shoots it again to make sure it's down, but it was too late. Steven was already dead, and apparently had been really badly mauled. Just a horrible scene. So while he shot and killed the bear, it was a little bit too late to save Steven. But of course, he did prevent the bear from attacking anyone else. He probably prevented a massive hunting search to find the bear. And that's what you have to do. And we find out that most black bear attacks are predatory attacks. That is, when they attack a person, it's with the intent to eat the person. And most of the time, you see them before they get to you. This is an unusual case where the bear contacted the person. Well, we don't know if it contacted the person, but it appears he made contact before Stephen had any chance to react, because it doesn't sound as if he yelled at the bear to try to dissuade it or anything. The first thing that people say they're hearing is screaming. Now, in contrast to that, over the last, oh gosh, several years, there was a previous fatal bear attack, but it was about 200 miles to the east And it happened in 2011. A woman was out walking her dog, and she was attacked by a bear. But it took her about a month. The wounds were pretty bad, and they were badly infected, and they just couldn't save her. After a month, she had some either a stroke or heart failure as part of her medical difficulties, and she died about a month after the attack. But we have had four cases in Arizona where people with handguns stopped bear attacks. And the first one that I was aware of it was in 1996. And I interviewed the person who did it. It took me a long time. It took me a long time to get in contact with him. His name is Brett Kramer. But eventually I did, and he was willing to talk about what happened. And he was with a group of, I believe it was 4-H'ers, a youth group that was up on Mount Lemmon. And it was another predatory black bear attack. And I think this bear was almost the same size. I recall it was about 275 pounds or so. And this bear had invaded the tent that Amy Knochel was in and severely mauled her. The bear was literally eating her. And Brett managed to retrieve his .44 Magnum, shoot the bear, stop the attack, shot the bear again as it was retreating, and they found it the next morning, probably mortally wounded. And then we had other cases in 2002, 2012, and 2016 where people with handguns stopped bear attacks. They were all black bear attacks in Arizona. The last grizzly bear in Arizona, I think, was killed about 1906 or so. So fortunately, right now, we don't have any grizzly bears to worry about in Arizona. Because they are more commonly the attacks we hear about are from grizzly bears, and it's probably because if you shoot a grizzly bear, it has to be reported to the federal authorities. But if you shoot a black bear, it doesn't have to be reported to the federal authorities. It's not an enormous crime. And my suspicion is that a lot of black bears that get shot that are in predatory mood just never get recorded
right, or
reported on. Now, this one, of course, did because there's a fatality involved. It's a terrible tragedy. I watched a video of the person who shot the bear talking about Stephen Jackson and said that he was very well liked in the community. He was very intelligent and extremely knowledgeable, loved the area, and planned to spend his remaining years there. So that's what happened in Arizona, another fatal bear attack. And it's amazing how many people, when I look at this, say, well, the bear is in its home. We should never interfere with a bear in its home. Well, I don't think that bear was even alive when Stephen Jackson bought the property. You know, all of the world is our home and our habitat.
Yeah, we're the top of the food chain.
Predator.
Yeah.
We're the top predator, and it's up to us to keep our predation in check so that we don't just destroy everything. And I think we're doing a better job of that all the time.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you've noticed this, but you know what a lot of people are talking about? Everybody should carry for self-defense nowadays.
No, I have. Well, there's a lot of talk about bear spray. But
bear spray.
We're getting some pushback, and a lot of it is the work that I and others have done showing how effective firearms, particularly handguns, are to defend.
Well, I'm talking about defense against humans is bear spray. They're talking about you should carry bear spray for humans.
Yeah.
And, I was asking, well, is bear spray more intense than pepper spray? And they're like, oh, it's all just pepper spray. And, I just don't know.
Well, different tools for different applications.
Yeah.
Virtually all police carry pepper spray because It is a tool that allows you to inflict some pain and some deterrence without being lethal. And that's a very useful thing in a lot of cases.
Right.
You know, not every defense calls for lethal force. And so I think the same thing applies to bear spray, is that there are times when it can be useful.
Right.
Now, what we see from the statistics is that black bears don't seem to be as sensitive to bear spray as grizzly bears. And it may be because just the way that they're set up or how they think about things or whatever, but they seem, when they're in predatory mode, they can be sprayed, and they just seem to keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And we've had a couple cases where people ran out of bear spray, but they ran out of bear spray just about the time they got to shelter, you know, like a car or a cabin or something
right.
like that. And so bear spray is not a complete solution for everything. I would argue that if you're worried about defending yourself, a firearm is far more versatile and effective. And frankly, we got lots of black bears. We got black bears, their populations are increasing all over. There's no reason not to take a black bear that's acting aggressively toward people out of the population.
Next time I go to Asheville, I'll be carrying my 10mm just because they seem to be
yeah.
having black bear issues. Listen, we're running out of time, so we will catch Dean next week. Thank you very much for joining me today, sir.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Back again on Monday. And between now and then, if you would be so kind, please remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.